Okay. Yeah, we're in part. I send you two carry charts, right? Okay. You should each have two carry charts. Then you can just change the time when we go to the other one. Problem with John Kerry is, Astro Data Bank had a 7:10 a.m. time for him for a long time. And then before the election, people got more serious about finding the right time. And according to one of his in-laws, who is an astrologer, she gives the time of 8:03 and says she got it from him himself. And so she's an astrologer, and so we hope that she might have got the right time. However, Satsiri asked him the time when she met him a couple weeks ago, and he told her between 12 and 1 a.m. You met him at a convention or something, Satsiri? Yeah, when he was campaigning. So she went home and worked on the chart and came up with 12:21, and Sadashiva worked on the chart and came up with 12:27 or something like that. And I haven't really had time. You can tell I was doing your homework at midnight last night to spend the 4 hours to really do a thorough rectification to be positive. So I just figured we would take a look at both charts, okay? And if nothing else, that'll give us more practice. And we should be able to determine just from Bush's chart who's going to win, because we're going to need to see Bush take a fall if he's not going to win, right? Mm-hmm. It's harder just to look at Bush's chart. But I figured, you know, some of the rectification things all have, you know, that people come up with look good. But, you know, when we start looking at events like when they had their kids, relationships, and several other things, you know, you can imagine you can spend several hours trying to sort out the chart. So, I just didn't have the time to do the research because you really need a lot of events to the day. You have to check past things. So we're going to go ahead with using Sadashiva's and Satsiri's rectifications, which both give the same Navamsha Lagna, the same Dasamsha Lagna, even though they're a few minutes apart. So we don't have to worry about that. And then we'll also look at the 8:03 time for John Kerry. Okay? But before we do that, let's go with, let's look at Bush's chart, okay? Alright. So we'll want to pull up his Dasamsha. Okay? Now, Bush is running Saturn Jupiter right now. So he's in the tail end of a dasha. You know, he's finishing up Saturn Jupiter. And if he had been, if he wasn't president yet, let's say this was his first bid for presidency, the very fact that he's running for presidency at the end of a dasha would definitely indicate less probability of him becoming elected. Because getting elected to something like that is not what usually happens at the end of a dasha, because the end of a dasha is about ending, not beginning a whole new aspect of life, which being a new president would be. But since Bush is already the president, you know, he's not starting a whole new period of life in Saturn Jupiter. He's just going down the same road, basically. Okay? So, let's look at the Dasamsha and see what this chart looks like, okay? Well, we know Saturn's connecting him to power, right? Because Saturn is ruling the, Saturn's ruling the Lagna Lord in the Dasamsha, and is placed in the 10th house in the Dasamsha. And then there's that interchange between Saturn and Mars, right? Between the 7th and 10th house, which is really what's really allowed him to even become president. So we already know Saturn can connect him to power, right? Okay. And Saturn's also the 8th lord. And the 8th lord sitting in the 10th house could indicate a fall. However, in this case, it's the debilitated 8th lord with only inauspicious points. And so this has allowed Bush to, move up, you know, up in life throughout Saturn period instead of taking falls throughout Saturn period. Okay? So Saturn is not going to cause him a lot of trouble, it doesn't look like, okay? Now, if we look to Jupiter, Jupiter is the sixth lord, right? Okay? And it's debilitated in the seventh house. And that's a good thing because the sixth house is his opponent, which in this at this time includes John Kerry. And so if John Kerry is debilitated, that's going to only help Bush. So Jupiter's not good for Bush to win the election, right? Okay? Another important thing is that Venus, what's that? For Kerry to win the election, thanks. Yeah, because Jupiter is a sixth lord debilitated. Okay? So, and then also, Venus is the Upmakarika in George Bush's chart, right? And it's in Sagittarius. And it is ruled by Jupiter. And Jupiter is connected with the Sun, the Karaka power, and Mars, the 10th Lord. So Jupiter is connecting his Upmakarika, him, to power as 6th Lord, not as 9th Lord. And due to the fact that Jupiter is doing it as the 6th Lord who's debilitated and therefore causing what we call a Nicha Bhanga Raj Yoga, and, you know, it's a 6th Lord, so he has an opponent, right? He's not a shoo-in for the election. There is serious competition. But with Jupiter being debilitated, it gives the chance of him overcoming the competition. Yeah. In the Dasamsha. Yeah. And Venus in the sixth. So Venus, Jupiter rules Venus, the Atmakarka, and connects Venus to the Sun and Mars, the two planets of power. And then Jupiter is the debilitated as sixth lord, so he helps Bush overcome his opposition. The very fact that he's running the book to the sixth lord, though, shows that he really has to be worried, and there's a very good possibility from, you know, the only possibility is what's going to happen, of course, but when we talk about possibilities, it means we look at a situation and it seems like it can go this way or that way. Of course, it's only going to go one way, but lots of times things look like they can go one way or the other. And it very much does look like Bush could not win this election, okay? And because he's running the sixth lord, he has a big obstacle in the name of John Kerry in front of him to winning this election, okay? However, since Jupiter is debilitated, he should be able to overcome the opposition. But that's good, though, because Venus is inauspicious in the sixth there. It has minus points, but it's a good house lord. So Venus is actually an auspicious planet for him. Okay. You're right. Venus, the Atmakarika, and the sixth is going to involve him in sixth house affairs, right? Which is servitude, right? Is that what you're pointing out? Uh-huh. But then Jupiter, the dispositor of Venus, is with the Sun and connects him to power. You see that?
It's also with his lord, too.
Yeah, but then that also represents him. The main point is that Jupiter is with the Sun and Mars, and that connects him to power. Okay, but Jupiter, you know, but you can see why with his Upmakarika in the sixth, his Lagna Lord joined with the sixth, his Lagna Lord joined with the Karaka battles Mars, you can see why he's involved in sixth house affairs. He's heavily involved with his enemies, right? So his whole presence is he has been being involved with enemies, right? Yeah, you know, obviously, right? He's a war president. Okay. And then the eighth house is involved, too, because the dispositor of the eighth lord, Mars, is also in that mix. Okay. Now, another thing that Bush has there in that seventh house, he's got the tenth lord exalted and the sixth lord debilitated. That's called Jaya Yoga. The famous person who had that yoga was Mario Andretti. So he was like one of the best race car drivers, right? And actually won his biggest races in the periods of those Jaya Yoga planets. So Jaya Yoga means victory. Yeah, because Mars is your actions, and they're exalted. And then Jupiter is the enemy's actions, or the enemy, the opposition, and they're debilitated, so the person's able to overcome and have victory. So Mars is sitting there with that Jaya Yoga, and that Jaya Yoga is, conjunct with the moon, the Lagna Lord, which means he really gets the Jaya Yoga. Okay? So,
uh-huh. Would you say that again? Jupiter is the sixth, debilitating in Capricorn, and Mars being the Lord of...
The tenth is exalted.
Is exalted, and that makes the Jaya Yoga?
Yep, tenth Lord exalted while the sixth Lord is debilitating. Okay. What's that? Moon, I have moon in seventh. Do you have it in sixth for some reason? Yeah, with Lahiri Ayanamsha, the moon would just barely be in Sag. Okay. So, so I think based on his chart, considering that he is running the debilitated sixth lord, which is connecting him to power, I think he's probably going to win the election based on the Bhavavacharya. But we don't want to stop there. We want to look at a full analysis. Okay? Did Satsiri or Satishiva or anyone else who's worked on this have anything to add? You guys have it? Do you guys agree, disagree, have a different opinion? No one? Yeah, actually, that's the next thing I was going to do, actually, okay?
He said he has a lot of points. Everything points, all the points that added up just perfectly to make a big score for him.
Yeah.
On the Saturn and Jupiter.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. But still, that's just the enemy getting crushed, you know? And then, okay, if you look at, in Vedic astrology, there's nine dashas. They're like Vimshatri, they're planetary dashas. And depending on the conditions in your chart, one of these dashas may apply. So if you've got the sun in the first house, one of these will apply. If you've got the seventh lord in the first or the first lord in the seventh, one of these might apply. So these are special dashas that apply to certain charts. And the average chart will have, two of these special dashas that will apply to it. Okay? So you really don't just have one time scheme that's running through your life. You have more than one usually, okay? It's really rare to find a chart that doesn't meet one of the conditions to have one of these conditional dashas, okay? Now, George Bush has one of these conditional dashas, which is called Dwi Saptati Sama Dasha. Well, Vimshatri means 120 years. Dwi Saptati simply means 72 years. So this is a 72-year-long cycle of planets, okay? Exactly. And Bush has got Saturn, his seventh lord, in the first. Okay? So, during his first election, if we just look back, he ran Jupiter-Venus. Okay? Right. He was running Jupiter-Venus during his first election. Okay? Well, then we see Jupiter is the dispositor of the Atmakaraka Venus connected to power, because Jupiter's with the Sun and Jupiter's with Mars. And Venus, of course, is the Atmakaraka who's disposited by Jupiter. And since both of, so it works good. And Venus gets very inauspicious in Jupiter Dasha. Oh, no, it doesn't, because it's a neutral. But anyway, so Jupiter Venus govern the election according to this. And now with this Dasha, with Dvi Saptati Dasha, he's going to be running Jupiter Moon period. Okay. Or, yeah, Jupiter Moon, right, Satya? Yeah. Yeah, I have in Jupiter Moon August 23rd until, and during election day, he'll be running Jupiter Moon Mars. Okay, so Jupiter Moon is interesting because, yeah, Moon's his Lagna Lord, connected with Jupiter, so he's obviously connected with, opposition, you know, and competition. And, but then again, Jupiter's debilitated. The competition is debilitated. The Pratyantar during the election is going to be Jupiter, Moon, Mars. So now we've got the Mars involved too, which, you know, is one of the Jaya Yoga planets. So again, it points to him doing quite well. And, no, this is with that other dasha system.
Okay.
We looked at it with Vimshatri, now we're looking at it with Dvi Saptati Dasha.
Okay.
And that one, he's running Jupiter, Moon, Mars during the election.
Alright.
Okay. So again, we see that. And one of the other things, just over the long term to look at right now, is that we know that the most important thing the next president has to deal with is war, right? There's going to be no avoiding cleaning up the war mess, right? So the next president, we see, has to be involved in war. If his chart, we could do this, we could predict the election and we can do a check on the election to make sure that that person is going to be involved in war. Because the next president is going to be involved with war, right? And if you look at Bush's chart, he's going to be involved in war. In either dasha, either Saturn, Jupiter, the sixth lord, or Jupiter, Moon, we still got the sixth lord connected to him specifically. So, Bush's chart is showing, not just during this election, but after this election, for him to be involved in war for some time still. Okay, and that's another thing that points to him winning the election, or else he's gonna, you know, go down the streets and start beating people up or something, okay? But he's really connected heavily to war in his chart. You know what I'm saying? And even in the Rashi chart, Jupiter is the sixth lord of your enemies, your opponent, conjunct with the moon, the Lagna lord, which is him. So his Rashi chart is connecting him to war as well. And also for war, you always want to look for an eighth house connection because the sixth house is your enemies, but the eighth house is battle. And in his Rashi chart, the moon rules the eighth lord. And in the Samsha chart, again, Mars rules the eighth lord. Saturn is all involved in, is all there, right? You know, all conjunct the moon, conjunct Jupiter and everything. So both the Rashi and the Samsha are connecting him to war.
What earth do you consider Mars in the seventh, also a war factor?
I would look for sixth and eighth house.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I would look at Mars in the seventh house would throw you into other people's countries in an effort to straighten out your own, you know. So it'd be one country not minding their own business. But it doesn't necessarily have to go to war, right?
Okay.
The seventh house is going to be other nations, and with Mars there, you're going to be pushing other nations. But unless we have the sixth house or the eighth house involved, you know, if the sixth house involved, there'll be enemies we'll be pushing in other nations. If the eighth house is involved, we'll be fighting battle, doing battle in other nations.
Okay.
In his chart, he got everything, right?
Yeah.
He's got the eighth lord connected to the seventh. He's got Mars in the seventh and the sixth. So he's pushing battle and fighting his enemies in other countries. Okay? All right. So, And then it's in sign of Capricorn, which is such a karmic sign. You know, those Saturn signs are heavily karmic. It's like you just don't have any choice hardly, you know. Life sets everything up perfectly for it to happen. So I would say with Jupiter Moon running in the Dvisapati Dasha, it only favors him, you know, winning the war or winning the election, you know. Okay, and so both dashas I think are pointing to that. Do you have any considerations, anyone else, Adishiva or Satsiri or anyone else who's worked on this? Where did you come from, Dvisapati Dasha? What did you come to? Did you like his dasha for him to win, or did you think
this? I think it's so.
Yeah. And then also, it's a Gajakasara yoga of Jupiter and the moon, right?
Right.
You know? So, you know, there's, are you looking at the, yeah, and the Jupiter moon's causing Gajakasara yoga in both charts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have what? Oh, you have moon in sixth house, and you're using a different Ayanamsha or something. Yeah. Would not be good. But then he has his Atmakarika in the sixth, you know? Yeah. Yeah, isn't it? I mean, it really spells out his Dasamsha, you know? The greatest thing he's been involved with his whole life is his battle, you know? Really. And it really shows it in the Dasamsha, because the Dasamsha is your big fruits, right? Your Mahat Phalam, your big fruits. And for him, it's being involved in this battle. Okay. Now, let's look at Kari's charts for Bhavacharya, and then we'll do some of the Jaimini Raja Yogas, okay? All right. Well, what's that?
Can I ask a quick question?
Uh-huh. Okay.
You think that's going to make things much worse for the country?
Sure, if he's running, yeah, you bet, yeah. But we'll have to deal with that maybe later if we have time.
Okay.
But yeah, the U.S. chart is showing a financial decline in 2005, meaning the 2005 astrological year starts in March of 2005 till March of 2006. Okay. Alright, John Kerry, let's look at Satsiri Sadashiva's times that they worked on first, okay, which is the chart. It says 12:27 a.m. Satsiri actually rectified it at 12:21, but it's not going to make any difference. It's still going to give the same Dasamsha log than everything, okay? So, Kerry, with this time, is running Mercury, okay, which starts October 5th. So he'll be 1 month into Mercury period.
Wow.
Okay, with this Ayanamsha. If a person is using Lahiri Ayanamsha, or what I think Satsiri is doing something a little different, he'd be running Saturn Jupiter. Okay? But in any case, he is, you know, whether Saturn Jupiter or Mercury, we're gonna look at Mercury as this Ayanamsha, of course. Okay? Now, in this Dasamsha of the 12:27 time, we've got a Pisces Lagna, and Mercury is the fourth and seventh lord, in the second house, okay? So Mercury is the dispositor of the Lagna lord, and Mercury is the dispositor of the tenth lord, okay? Because Jupiter is the Lagna and tenth lord, right? It's a midnight time.
Oh, I see. It's looking at the dispatch stuff.
Yeah, we're looking at the assumption.
My assumption doesn't look like this.
You probably got the wrong John Kerry chart. I gave you two John Kerry charts. Look for the 1-0-0-27. And Pisces will be in the disumption there.
Pisces, Lagna, I have Cancer.
In the disumption? No.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you have to, if the war comes,
you have to hit my daylight savings time.
Yeah, I have that.
Oh, okay. You have it on your own computer, not what I do.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So he's
but
got...
I had his Lagna as Aries, and he was towards Mercury taken.
Okay, you're used as Aries Lagna. What time do you have?
In the assumption.
What time do you have? Okay, but you're using a different ionumption then, huh? Yeah, if you have them running Mercury something, you've got something funny on your computer.
Okay.
Use the handouts I gave you guys to make it simple. And if you got something different on your computer, email me or call me and we'll straighten it out, okay?
Right.
But maybe you got a setting funny. All right. So he'll be running Mercury, and probably Mercury during the election, okay? And that's also would be the swearing in time with Mercury. Okay. Well, let's see. Let's find out if Mercury's only aspecting with K2 and Rahu, right? Okay. K2's the inauspicious, in the 12th house inauspiciously, right? Due to the fact that K2 is the 12th house, Lord is in the 12th, with positive points, right? K2's got 19 points, Saturn's got 9 points, so K2 is a planet that can cause him to suffer a fall, because it's aspecting Mercury, okay? Now Rahu, on the other hand, is negative 43 points, and its Lord is in a positive house as a negative Lord with low points. So Rahu actually shows 43 points of trouble that he can overcome and still win. So Rahu's, you know, supportive, K2's not.
And why is Rahu supportive again?
Because the sixth Lord because its Lord is in a positive house.
Okay.
With negative points, and because Rahu has negative points.
Okay.
Because that means it's going to be negative points for our Dishtana house, which is a negative house, which becomes positive points for you, negative points for the enemy.
Okay.
Okay. Gotcha. So, but K2 is a troublemaker. Why is he troublemaker?
No.
Because he's in the 12th house with positive points, and his Lord is in a positive house. So those are going to be the 19 points he loses, which become 19 points of inauspiciousness, therefore. Okay. All right. So, but let's look what other things. Does Mercury rule any nakshatras? It rules the sun's nakshatras. No, it doesn't. It doesn't rule any planets in any nakshatras. It is the sun, like I was saying. Okay, yeah. Mercury rules the sun. So the Mercury becomes a dispositor of power, doesn't it? Okay. Then, Mercury, how about K2? K2 is the nakshatra lord of Jupiter, right? And Jupiter is the Lagna and 10th lords in the disumption, right?
Yeah.
So K2 is attaching Mercury, the dispositor of Jupiter and the sun, the karaka of the power, then the 10th lord, to Jupiter, which is the Lagna lord and the 10th lord. And also the sun's the Atma karaka too, right? So K2 and Mercury are both ruling the same thing. Mercury is ruling the sun's nakshatra and Jupiter's Rashi, whereas K2 is ruling Jupiter's nakshatra, who's logged in 10th lord. So there is a connection between Mercury and K2, indicating an involvement in power. But since K2, in this case, is in a Dishtana, and basically is a Dishtana lord, is K2, with high point, K2 is showing loss of power. Is involving him with a loss of power. You see how that works?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if K2 had negative point, Bush would be in deep shit. Okay? As it is, Bush is there, but for different reasons. Okay? Bush will probably always be there, huh? Okay. The sixth lord is positive, you bet. The only problem is Mercury is more involved with K2 than it is with the Sun. Mercury rules the Sun, okay, but Mercury's involved with K2, you know?
So why is Mercury ruling the Sun, not Mercury involved with the Sun?
Because Mercury rules the Sun's nakshatra.
And then why is that not involvement?
Okay. Its involvement, in a way, let me tell you how to explain it. The main thing is in the Dasamsha, it's not attaching. In the Dasamsha, it's attaching the Sun, the Karaka of status, to the 12th house, right? Which is not what we want.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Right?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and so I think because of the K2 influence. Yeah. Yeah. Because Mercury also rules him, Sun is at Makarka, and also Mercury rules Jupiter. And it's because if the 12th house has got high points, auspicious points, that's always the loss you're going to suffer. It's not the loss your enemy is going to suffer. K2 represents the loss he's going to suffer because it's the 19 points. So the 12th house is the result of the enemy's actions against you. It's your losses that you take. So with 19 points there, that's 19 points his competition or his enemies is going to take from him.
I thought you said 11:30.
Okay. So, if K2 was minus, that would be...
See if I have some money. Could you get that, please?
Someone needs to move their phone. If K2 had negative points, then K2 would be taking those away from the enemy. As it is, that's a 19 point that's taken away from John and giving to the enemy. You see that, Siri?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I follow the reasoning anyway. So I would think that Mercury is more attaching him to loss than it's attaching him to power, if anything. So I don't see that Mercury dasha in Mercury, especially being able to give him an election. Exactly. Because that 12th house loss is the loss John Kerry suffers, not the loss anyone else suffers. And then he's attached to the loss through Mercury.
First?
Yeah.
Is it also of interest to you that he switched dasas between getting the nomination and going for the boss?
Yeah, it's like I said. Exactly, because it's only going to be 10% of the time that you're going to see really amazing things happen to a person during the switch of a dasha. It does happen sometimes, but it's only maybe it's not the common thing to have happen.
But
And it's not that you're not supposed to, just usually you don't, you know. And usually people that start like a relationship at the ending of a dasha, more often than not, it's a transitionary relationship.
Right.
Sometimes it's a relationship that takes them to the next period and they stay with it. But usually what happens at the transition of a dasha just gets you strange. It's a transitionary thing, you know. And then with Mercury connecting him to the 12th house, you know, is not favorable at all, you know, for him to win the election based on this.
Wow.
But yeah, if, like I said, on Bush's chart, if he was running his first election for presidency and he was running the end of Saturn dasha, if he was running Saturn Jupiter dasha, that right there would spell, would be a point against him winning. So you bet. The fact that he's in this dasha transition period, that's a point against him winning. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, a month before the election, yeah. So, Satsiri, did you have anything else to add to that, Satsiri or Sadashiva? I don't think Sadashiva's here. What degree do you have as Moon at? Okay, so you have it 6 degrees difference. Okay, 6 minutes difference. Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's enough to put it, that
he's still in Saturn Jupiter. Yeah. Yeah, so he'll be running Saturn Jupiter. You're right, and then Jupiter's the 12th lord, right? I mean, Saturn's the 12th lord. Yeah, but I mean, I meant to say Saturn's the 12th lord there.
Yeah. You know what's so interesting, Ernst, is the media is certainly, I mean, electronic things and Mercury things are certainly a concern with this election. Like, you know, a lot of states have electronic voting, and that's a Mercury thing. And people think that could swing the election to Bush because it can be messed with. So.
Oh, okay. Wow. Now, who paid for that thing?
Well, you know, the head of the FCC is a huge Republican, so.
Uh huh.
I don't know, but Michael Moore's movie was supposed to be on pay per view the night before the election, and that's been lost.
And that was the one that trashed Bush, right?
Right. Fahrenheit 9/11, right?
Oh, okay.
So they managed to block that.
So. Uh huh. Yeah, Bush, you know, he's got powerful people in powerful places, right?
Yeah.
Did you find any other dashas that apply to this chart, Satsiri?
The Qatar
Sama? Okay. Yeah, so that's a 36-year cycle, and he's running, what's he running in that? He's running Rahu, looks like, right?
Yeah.
From April 2004 onwards, instead of Mercury. Now, let's see. Rahu's in the moon sign in this chart. Okay. So he's running Rahu, which is going to give the results of the sun, right? Was that the only one that applied to his chart? Okay. I mean, Rahu's point painting, I think, a better picture because it's hammering the sixth house, right?
We know what I think. Right now it looks like Kerry's going to win the popular vote and Bush is going to win the electoral vote. It looks like it's going to do what it did in 2000.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because Bush is still leading in the electoral vote, even though the polls are favoring Kerry now because of the debate.
Uh-huh. Okay, interesting. Yeah, it looks a little bit more towards Bush, I'd say.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, it looks a little bit more towards Bush. I think.
Are you voting?
Oh no, this is the extent I go to my elections right here. Okay, let's look at the other John Kerry time, which was 8:03 a.m. No, what it is, Rahu Rahu in the 10th gives Raj Yoga in its own Dashan Bhukti.
Okay, only if it's in the 10th. Like, Rahu is in
Rahu
chart, Rahu has
8. Yeah. But it's not a good Rahu in his Rashi chart. And the rule they say is that Rahu Rahu destroys the Bhavas in his first Bhukti. You know, it's a general rule. And so you're going to get a lot of stress in the book, in that bhava that Rahu's in Rahu's bhukti, in Rahu Rahu, you know? Yeah, it's in the 6th house in D10, so that could help smash his enemies, right? Okay, so that dasha is pointing more towards, you know, that. But then at the same time, it's a 6th house thing, and the 6th house is the house of government service. And the sun is also the karka of the government. So any government employee has the sun involved in their chart somehow, you know? And so, you know, one thing I said during that class, that was actually during the class we had, was that Rahu Rahu really gets you heavily involved with the house that it's in. So like Al Gore, he had Rahu in the 6th, and then Rahu Rahu, he became vice president. And it was a good Rahu in the 6th joined with the 6th Lord Mars. And here with John Kerry, Rahu Rahu would make him a very powerful government employee, but not the king, because it's the 6th house. It really directly attaches him to the 6th house as a government employee. So I think he'll, you know, his role as the government wouldn't be over by Rahu, but I don't think Rahu in the 6th is going to make him the president.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean by that. In the first part of Rahu, you really deal with that house.
Oh, okay.
You heavily, you know, that house comes to your attention, you know. And the 6th house is the house of service, you know, and a really good 6th house can make you a very successful, you know, government employee. But it's not ideal for, it's not as ideal for presidency, you know. So there is... You can see why he's running for it in Rahu Rahu, because, you mean, Rahu is in Leo, right? And the sun is in the Lagna, right? And those are the king factors. But then, so, if that was the only dasha, it would be a little more nerve-wracking, but considering that the other dasha doesn't look good for him, I think this dasha looks better for him. But I still don't think, I still think it's going to keep him as a government employee.
So I have a quick question.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And they go into Rahu Rahu, you would normally think that would bring some sort of rise.
It will, yeah.
But if Rahu destroys, you know, the bhava that it's in.
No, in the 10th, Rahu in the 10th gives Raj Yoga in its own book.
That's what I thought. Okay, so this destroying rule doesn't necessarily.
Doesn't apply to the 10th house.
Okay.
Thank you. That applies to houses like the 2nd house, the 7th house, you know, the 5th house, things like that. I'm sure everyone's seen who's an astrologer. You've seen people go into Rahu Rahu in the 7th or the 2nd house and just takes all their money, you know.
Right.
Or in the 7th house, it just ends their relationship or really turmoils it.
Right.
Yeah. I had a guy who just lost everything in Rahu Rahu, and Rahu's in the 2nd house, lost all of his money.
Wow.
You know? And his eyes started going bad. Okay, so if we bump John Kerry to 8:03, now he's going to be running Mercury K2. Okay, during the election. All right. Now at 8:03, let's see what Mercury can do now. Mercury is a dispositor of the 10th Lord, which is Mars. Mercury is a dispositor of the 12th Lord, too, okay, which is Saturn. Mercury's an espouser of Jupiter and the Moon, you know. And then Mercury is aspecting the Lagna. So this gets real interesting real fast, right? But we'll probably want to treat Mercury more as the fifth lord because of the fact that Mars and Mercury interchange, right? So the interchange between Mars and Mercury in the Dasamsha. So that we're going to give more weight towards Mercury as fifth lord due to that interchange, and especially due to the fact he's going to be running Mercury K2, which gives the results of Mars. Okay? So K2 gives the results of Mars, and he's in the third level of Mars. And an interchange involving the third house and the fifth house is an up and down interchange. You understand? Like Bush has an interchange between the seventh house and the tenth house. That's called a Mahayoga, which gives great results. An interchange between the third house and the fifth house, or the third house and any house besides the sixth, eighth, and twelfth, is called a Kala Yoga. Not like my software, but with spelled K-H-A-L-A. And it means cruel yoga. And that is a yoga that gives ups and downs. Sometimes you're doing well, sometimes you're doing bad. So we have to read Mercury as this interchange of the third and fifth lord, which includes the Lagna Lord Saturn and the tenth lord Mars. So Mercury, due to this interchange, and Mercury is involved in him because Mercury aspects the Lagna, and he's running the book of K2, who's the third lord in the fifth, and then K2 is going to act like the Lagna Lord. I would say that Mercury K2 is going to be up and down, you know, professionally for him. And, you know, not, and especially Mercury K2 Mars would not let him win the election. You see my reasoning there?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't think this chart looks great for him to win the election either. Okay, so it seems like everything so far, I think, is pointing more towards Bush than it is John here, whether we look at either time we look at. Okay? There's an interesting thing. There's some branches of astrology, you know, they're not astrology per se how we do it with these type of charts and everything, but they have astronomical and time considerations. They just take your birthday. You don't even take the time of your day. They just take the birthday, and based on the birthday, I've seen them make pretty good predictions. Lots of times better predictions than lots of Vedic astrologers. And there's something about being born on a good day or a bad day, you know. There is something to that. And if we could probably take any time of birth during this day that John Kerry was born on, and the chart was going to have some deficit in the Dasamsha at this time, you know? You know, because the day he was born on, it just doesn't look like it's favoring an election, you know? And that's another time I wasn't stressed too much about having the exact time, because, you know, there's something about just having the right birth date that actually can help you somehow, you know? Anyway, so I don't think this favors him that well as either. Let's go back to Bush. Did anyone else study the 803 chart that want to have any comments? Okay. All right. Let's have some fun. Now we can do some Jaimini stuff, okay? So, yeah. Yeah, if we should really apply the transits too. We're not going to have time today. But one thing I would do, I would look at the transits from the moon. Okay. In fact, we can do that real quick. Let's go to the screen on my software, animated transit. The election's on what day? This only take 1 minute.
It's on November 2nd, and I've done all the Guptara, and it's really bad for John Kerry.
Yeah, so all we do is we do Bush, and oops, I don't have the report in front of me anymore. Hold on. Yeah, so if we look at the transits from the moon in the software, you can read the results from the moon. And you want to pay special attention to, you know, Jupiter and Saturn, the two planets of destiny, the son, the Karaka of fame, and then the 10th lord of the person. Okay? And November 2nd, I don't know. You guys can do that on your own, okay? But you can also, you'll have a good chance of predicting an election just looking at the Gochara. And then also you'd want to look for exact conjunctions, trines, and aspects happening the day of the election to see what things are getting triggered, you know? If we, you know what I mean, sort of? As well. Okay, so let's do the Jaimini stuff and we'll go to the transits later. Power, and then the 10th Lord, right?
The 10th Lord and the Rashi?
Yeah. So especially look for those things in Gochara in transit. And you can take the 10th Lord in the Dasamsha too, you know? And look for those in transit, see if they're in good or bad places. But you said Bush's Gochara was better?
They're both not very good.
They're both not great, yeah.
It's pretty bad for John Kerry, but they're really...
And always look for the moon. You always want the moon in a good Gochara position. As well.
Yeah, I did this months ago, and you couldn't tell. It was sort of like last time. They weren't all blocked like last time.
Yeah.
But either guy was the clear winner from it, and they both had really bad. So that's why I kind of think one's going to win one, and the other's going to win the other.
It'll be a close election, if nothing else. Yeah. Okay, let's see. All right, with Jaimini Rajogas, I have to pull up that little sheet I give you guys. Hold on.
But it's interesting because moon will be 10th from the moon, which is not good.
So Bush's moon is not in a good place. I didn't even look at the transits myself. I just did this other stuff. Huh, I'm having a hard time finding that handout. Hold on.
Oh, wait.
Okay.
Nobody listen to me anymore.
We're just computer dependent. That's all. I've ruined all your guys' brains. Tell you that computer, you know, that software. Okay. Okay, there's a table... that I sent you all, you can make Xerox copies of it or print up more copies to help you use these Raj Yogas. And basically, everyone in life is more or less doing the same thing, aren't they? We're all going to work. We're all responsible for certain things. You know what I mean? We all have money. Everyone's doing pretty much the same thing. And when it comes right down to it, fame is just doing something bigger and louder so that more people hear it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's all it is. It's just being bigger and louder. It's not even doing anything better. It's just how visible is it? How much is manifesting? So Jaimini has these two pretty cool techniques that let us see how big and loud a planet's going to be. And if it's big and loud, it'll be seen and heard more. And there'll be more, or if it involves money, there'll be more digits in the bank. So it's a simple way to see how big and loud a planet can be. And so with that, we can see what dasha a person's running and see how big and loud things are going for them at the time, okay? And these are a little tricky at first. I hope I put those special lagnas on the chart. Tatsiri, are the Gati lagna on the chart? Okay, so there's, there's some extra lagnas in Vedic astrology, and they're called Kala lagnas, which means the time lagnas. One of these is called a Bhava lagna, one is called a Gati lagna, and one's called a Hora lagna. And those three lagnas are calculated based on time. The normal lagna is calculated astronomically, meaning depending on which part of the zodiac is on the horizon, that determines the lagna. With these kala lagnas, what we do, we find where the sun is at sunrise, and then we, for every 2 hours after sunrise, we add 30 degrees to get the bhava lagna. Okay? And to calculate the hora lagna, for every 1 hour after sunrise, we add 30 degrees to the position of the sun. And for the gastrika lagna, for every 24 minutes after sunrise, we add 30 degrees to the lagna. Okay? We won't get into technically too much how to calculate it right now because we don't have the time. And those lagnas, the sunrise time is to be taken for Yamakoti, not your local place, but for the ancient astrological meridian. In Brihat Parashara, he says that these three lagnas are the same at all places on the world. Just like it's the same moment in time now as it is in India, we have to have the same time lagnas here as in India. And we get those by calculating for Yamakoti. So these are just lagnas through which things can manifest. Okay? Yeah. Oh, of course. Center of the sun on the horizon. No, no. In fact, we had the people who build the Swiss ephemeris, he specially made the center of the sun calculation for me. Before, he just had edge of the sun, which is the western way. And he's a Sanskrit scholar, and he's actually my Sanskrit tutor. We became good friends, and he would help me, and I would do, you know, I would help him with some research as he was doing. So we became buddies, and he was calculated it for us. So we have it calculated the right way. Okay, so with this thing, if we've got one planet joining or aspecting all three of these lagnas, that planet is forming a powerful Raj Yoga, meaning that planet's going to be loud and big. If it's aspecting two or three of these lagnas, it's still a good Raj Yoga, just not as good as having all three aspected. Okay? Now, some people do this yoga where they use the normal lagna, the Gatika lagna, and the Hora lagna. I do it with the Bhava lagna, the Gatika lagna, and the Hora lagna. I use all three of the Kala lagnas. I don't use two of the Kala lagnas and one of the normal lagna. So in Bush's Rashi chart, you'll see a BL on the chart. Do you guys see the BL?
No.
Didn't I put the BL there? I always forget to put something on every chart for you guys. Okay. The BL, the Bhava Lagna, for George Bush is Aquarius.
Oh, wait. It is there. It's in brown.
Yeah. It's brown. For brown lagna. Okay. Now.
And what's that called?
Bhava Lagna. Okay, then down in Scorpio, you see Gati Lagna and Hora Lagna, GHL and
right.
HL, right? All right. Now, our job is to see if there's one planet, and we just have to look at the Dasha Lord. He's running Saturn Dasha, right?
Right.
We want to see if Saturn is inter-aspecting two or three of those lagnas. It's aspecting all three, right? All three. Yeah, so Saturn aspects Scorpio and Saturn aspects Aquarius. So Saturn aspecting all three becomes a powerful producer of Raj Yoga. You see that? Or success. So Saturn's going to help him be big and loud.
Wow.
Okay?
So you were saying if it does it to two, it's not enough?
It's good too. But three is better.
Okay, so and one is not doesn't do anything?
So in your little table... You know I gave you that little table there? Under Saturn, on the first row, it says Janma Rashi, Hora Rashi, and Gatika Rashi, right? The Janma Rashi, in this case, is the Bhava Lagna. The Hora Rashi is the Hora Lagna, and the Gatika Rashi is the Gatika Lagna. And the reason it says Rashi is because it means in the Rashi chart. And you'll see in the column below that, it says Navamsha, because that's the Navamsha chart. You got it? So in the first column, we've looked in the Rashi chart, and we've seen that Saturn is inner aspect in all three of those, right? Does everyone see that? I don't think you guys are getting me. Say no if you don't.
I don't see the columns you're talking about, but I see Saturn aspect in all three.
No, that handout I give you. I give you guys a handout. No, I sent it with the class the other day.
It didn't come with these charts?
It came with those charts. Didn't it? It was a Word handout?
No.
Okay. So this is what we have to do. We've seen that Saturn aspects the Janma, the all three Lagnas in the Rashi chart, right? So write down Saturn on a piece of paper, and next to Saturn write down 3, and then put a comma. So there we see that Saturn's causing a 3-point Raj Yoga. Got it? Okay. We have to see the same thing in the Drekana. Okay? In the Drekana, the Hora Lagna is Scorpio, the Gatika Lagna is Cancer, and the Bhava Lagna is Libra. Is Saturn aspecting 2 or 3 of those Lagnas, or in them? In the Drekana it is, right? It's in the Gati Lagna, aspecting the Hora Lagna. So it's aspecting 2, inner aspecting 2, right? You see that? Only in the Drekana and the Navamsa for some reason. Alright, so Saturn causing a 2-point yoga. So next to Saturn put 2, comma. So we see Saturn causing 2 yogas so far. A 3-pointer and a 2-pointer.
Okay.
Now let's do the same in the Navamsa. Is Saturn joining or aspecting 2 or 3 of those in the Navamsa? It's in the Hora Lagna. Aspects the Gati Lagna, right?
Wow.
So that's 2. So Saturn's causing 3 Raj Yogas you didn't know about until now.
Wow.
Okay. Pretty nice, right? Okay. Now, so his Mahadasha looks good. He's in the Bhukti of Jupiter, right? Okay. Now, let's look at Jupiter then. Let's do the same thing. So in the Bhukti of Jupiter, in the Rashi chart, is Jupiter inner aspecting any of these Lagnas?
No.
It's not, right? How about the Navamsa? Two in the Navamsa, right? So write down 2 next to Jupiter, showing it's giving a 2-point Raj Yoga. Okay, now let's look at Jupiter in the Drekana. What's it doing?
Two.
The Bhava Lagna and the Gatika Lagna, right? So, in the Drekana, it's 2. So Jupiter's causing 2 Raj Yogas. You got it? So let's now compare that to his opponent, okay? Let's go to John Kerry. And we'll do the 1227 time, I think, first.
And what do you call these last
days? These are just called... the planet becomes what's called a yogada. Satya, you want to spell it for?
Cool. Thank you.
Okay.
I love that.
Okay. So, in John Kerry's chart on the late time, the 1227 time, Now here's the thing though. These lagnas change. The Gatika lagna goes through one sign in 24 minutes, which means it goes through one navamsha in less than 3 minutes. So, what's that? So, with John Kerry's chart, a 1227 time versus a 1221 time is going to give a completely different Navamsha Gatika Lagna. You know, so this technique really, you know, changes things fast. Every 3 minutes, you're going to have a different Raja Yoga possibility. Okay? Sada Shiva is not here. So I'm going to use the 1221 of Satsiri, okay? Otherwise, I'd put it in the middle. But I'm just going to give 1221 with Satsiri came up because she's here, Sada Shiva's not. So that saves us an argument, okay?
Except for we all have the 1227 chart.
Yeah, I'll just tell you the difference in the logna.
Okay.
Okay. And Rashi's chart is probably not going to change. He's running Mercury, so it's going to be easy, right? We only have to do one planet for him. Is Mercury joining or aspecting any of these three lagnas in the Rashi chart?
No.
Uh-oh. Okay, we can look at Saturn too. Let's look at Mercury first. Satsiri has them in Saturn. And Mercury, in the Navamsha, I've got the Gatika lagna in Virgo now. And the Hora lagna in Libra. And the Bhava lagna in Gemini. Did any of those be... Yeah, in the Navamsha, Mercury is not aspecting any of them, right?
Oh, okay.
Although with the later time, it would probably be, might have been aspecting one. What, in your charts that I handed you, where do you have the Gati Lagna?
In the Navamsha?
Yeah.
In
Sagittarius. Okay, now it's in Virgo. So in either case, Mercury is not going to be aspecting either in the Navamsha. Let's go to the Drekana.
Wow.
In fact, I'm just going to pull up something else here.
Wow.
In the Drekana, is it inner aspect in any of them?
Mercury.
No.
Mercury,
not aspecting any of the Kala Lagnas, right?
Wow.
So Mercury's dead fish. Okay, let's look at, everyone see that? Mercury's totally dead. Let's look at Saturn, okay? In Saturn, in the Rashi chart, is Saturn aspecting any of them? Or with any of them? No. Okay, and in Navamsha, Saturn's in the Hora Lagna. It's also in the Hora Lagna. But, and that's it, though. Oh, the Gati Lagna? I've got Lagna in Virgo. You're using a different Ayanamsha.
Yeah.
Okay. And then in the Drekana, Saturn is aspecting the Bhava Lagna and the Hora Lagna. So Saturn's causing 1 2-point yoga in the Hora Lagna, and that's it. Okay. At this birth time, which again, the Gatika Lagna could change with just a slight difference in birth time. 1 minute even could change it into Libra or Leo, depending which way we go. So, neither one is looking as good, is it?
No.
Okay. Let's look. I'm just not going to spend a lot of time on Jupiter just for time constraint reasons. And we're just going to use Mercury. Let's change his time, John Kerry's time, to the 8:03 time now and see what we get. Okay, in the 8:03 time, he's running Mercury K2. In the Rashi chart, is Mercury joining or aspecting any of these lagnas?
The Bhava Lagna.
Okay, but that's not two, right?
Yeah.
In the Navamsha, is Mercury joining or aspecting any of these? and aspecting the Bhava Lagna up there in Taurus, right? So Mercury is causing a 2-point Raj Yoga in the Navamsha. Okay? But that's it. And in the Drekana, is Mercury joining or aspecting any of these three Lagnas? It's not doing very good, is it? Mercury. Yeah, I didn't even bother with Jupiter in that chart.
So Earth, how much emphasis do we give to your goddess? Like say
What we do is, I'll show you what, let's finish.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Basically we do several different techniques and decide who we think is gonna win. Based on the natal and the assumption analysis, Bush looks favored. Now based on the Yogada of the Kala Lagnas, which we're doing now, Bush looks favored, doesn't he? Let's look at K2, the Bhukti Lord, though, okay, of John Kerry, because with the 803 time, he's running K2 Bhukti. Okay? In the Rashi chart, is K2 joining or aspecting any of these planets? Any of these points? Yeah, not enough, right? Only one. And the Navamsha, is K2 joining or aspecting? Okay, so K2 is causing one Raj Yoga, right? And in the Drekana, how's K2? All three, right? K2 is aspecting the Gatika Lagna, the Hora Lagna, and the Bhava Lagna. So K2 is a strong bhukti for him. You notice the dasha before Mercury dasha was K2 dasha, right? Which was a very successful dasha for him, wasn't it? Okay, so K2 is a solid bhukti for him. Now Mercury... After Mercury. So K2 dasha after Mercury dasha could have some promise if he's still in the body. Okay, so if we look at his Mahadasha Lord Mercury, it gave no points at all, did it? It didn't cause any yogas, right?
Right.
His Bhukti of K2 gives a 2-pointer and a 3-pointer, a total of 5 points of Raj Yoga. You got it?
Right.
That compared to Bush's, whose Dasha Lord is giving 7 points of Raj Yoga, and whose Bhukti is giving 4 points of Raj Yoga, who are you going to vote for? Or who are you going to bet, not who are you going to vote for, who are you going to bet on?
Who are you going to assassinate?
Who are you going to assassinate? Okay. George Bush, right? You know, he's simply, he's got more points, better chance he's going to win right now. See how simple that is? Then do a third technique and do 2 out of 3.
But you say they have equal weight
then? I found basically that predicting just on this one technique we're using right now in elections,
uh-huh,
I've seen it work 7 out of 10 times.
Okay.
Just as one technique. So if you take 10 president elections and do this one technique, you're going to find it's going to work 7 out of 10 times. Okay, maybe even 8 out of 10 times. It'll certainly work, give you 7 out of 10 right answers. And so I would treat them equally. I would go to technique number 3 and let that be the tiebreaker, you know?
So you only do your goddess for Raj Yoga, you don't do it for marriage?
No, just to see how big something gets, you know? If the second lord is doing it, a person may have lots of money, though. And so on, you know? So I'd just like to see how big and loud that planet gets, because the lagna is what something manifests through, right? It's the every bhava has its point that manifests what it rules, but the lagna is the manifesting point. And so these three kala lagnas really show, you know, kala is the time, that the force of time that brings events to pass. So if a planet is influencing these lagnas, it means it's that planet's time. If it's not influencing these lagnas, it's really not that planet's time, and so that planet can't do a whole lot. You understand?
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, what she's saying is that that makes it more powerful, because the moon is such a significant thing. But the most crucial, most important thing really, is if the Atmakaraka is one of these planets. So the Atmakaraka... and Venus, the Atmakaraka. Right?
Wow.
And see, that points out to him especially being the king.
Wow.
So, because we've got two things that really revolve around his personality, the moon and the Atmakaraka doing the same thing.
Wow.
So it makes it much, much more powerful, you know?
Wow.
Okay?
God, crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and see, the first thing you have to look at, if we didn't know who these guys were, sure, we could predict, gosh, this person's going to be successful, but successful in what? We'd have to first determine their career and say, this person's a politician of the ruling class, one with a title, which is the 11th house, and one with power, the 10th house, and one working for the government, which is the sun house, and one whose success is based on the public, which is the 7th house. And then we see the power excessive, and then we can predict presidency. So just if you saw Bush as an infant, it would be really hard to predict. I mean, you would have to go through a lot of steps to say he's going to become the president, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Versus he's going to be successful in Saturn Dasha, you know? So, but that's what a great astrologer was expected to do. It brings the baby's chart. You look at the baby's chart and say, this person will be the king of England, you know? And so that's, but astrology can do that, but we have to get, we're kind of actually doing the last step. In Jaimini Sutras, the first thing he teaches us is to see what the person is, what their life path is going to consist of, what their, you know, what their skills are, what their talents are for their career. And until you've figured all that out, you don't want to predict anything, you know, any kind of fame, because fame in what? You know what I mean? Fame as a musician? That Makaraka has a big point towards that, yeah. Okay, let's continue on with this. So based on that technique, it favors Bush. Okay? Now, the next technique's a little trickier. And this sutra that these techniques, this next three techniques I'm going to teach you, this next group of techniques I'm going to teach you from, is a very confusing sutra. And he basically says one thing, says another thing, and then he says the same thing again that he said at the beginning, which means he sort of duplicates himself. Most people that I've seen who've translated those three sutras, they simply ignore the third sutra because it repeats the second sutra, and they simply ignore it if it's just not there because they can't fit it in. So I spent a long time trying to figure out how to put that sutra in that everyone ignores and still make, and you know, to come up with this correct way of doing this Raja Yoga. So this is going to be a little different than you might see somebody else doing it. And it causes a little bit of eye strain, okay? But it's worth it. This is in the Pada chapter. Okay? When we do our Jamie Sutras class in the future, we'll go through each sutra individually, make sure you really understand the heart of every sutra. Today we're just going to give you a little eye strain, okay? We're not going to give you a heart attack and, you know, and all that stuff. It's an easy day. So, you notice with the Bhava Lagna, Gati Lagna, and Hora Lagna, we took three lagnas and three vargas, right? And that gave us nine factors, right? So the highest possible point the person could get with one planet would be nine, right?
Right.
If, you know what I mean? Bush had seven, which is really high. But you could have as much as nine. So Saturn could be influencing these three lagnas in all three charts, which would equal nine. Okay? So these Kala lagnas, they're the points that represent that it's the right time, like I said, okay? That's the time factor. Now the lagna, not the lagna itself, but the horizon, which is the lagna and the seventh house, those are the manifesting points when it comes to space. It's the horizon. You understand? So the Kala Lagnas represent the manifestation of time. The horizon, which is the first and seventh house, represent the manifestation of due to space. Okay? Some people, what they do, that technique I just did with the Kala Lagnas, they also do it to the seventh house. From the Kala Lagnas. They're not supposed to do that. It's because they mistranslated the sutras. It's only to the Lagna itself, to those Kala Lagnas itself, not to the seventh from those Kala Lagnas. Okay? Now, when it comes to the Lagna, we're doing the same thing, and we're going to do it to the Lagna or the seventh from the Lagna. Basically, we're going to see if a planet is inner aspecting the horizon. Oh, you understand?
And that's the manifestation of space.
Yeah, because we're in a space-time continuum, according to Star Trek, right? Okay, so manifestation requires space and time. You know, things are manifesting in time and manifesting in space. You know? So, anything... You know, the time is, the difference between space and time is that at any moment it's the same time, right?
Right.
Not according to our Western clocks, but according to astronomical time.
Right.
It's right now, it's this moment, right. Everywhere. That's time. That's why the Bhava Lagna, Hora Lagna, and Gatika Lagna are the same right now in India as it is now.
Okay.
Now, space is what changes depending upon your location on Earth. Time is not location dependent. Space is. You got it?
Yes.
So the horizon at any place on Earth is always different, right? Because it's space. So the horizon, which is the Lagna and seventh, represent another important manifesting point, just like those Kala Lagnas. Okay? So if we have a planet that aspects the Lagna, you're doing good. But you have to do it a little differently, okay? The horizon in the Rashi chart is Cancer Capricorn, right? You see that? Yeah.
I'm so sorry, can I ask one
more question?
Okay. You said that some people will say to do it from the Lagna and the...
For the Kala Lagna. Exactly.
Got it.
That, and that's incorrect.
Right.
But you are supposed to do it seventh from the Lagna. Okay? So, because you're looking at the influence of the horizon. In Jaimini Sutras, the horizon is crucial. And the seventh house is used all the time because it's a horizon point. Okay? Now, and so we want to see if one planet is aspecting or in the horizon in the Rashi, the Navamsha, and the Drekana. Okay? Now, the horizon in the Rashi chart is Cancer Aquarius, right?
So
Navamsha or Drekana?
Are you gonna put this in your manual sometime?
No, this will be in Jaimini Sutras.
Okay.
Okay. So let's look at the Dasha Lord for Bush Saturn. The horizon we're gonna look at right now is the Rashi horizon, which is Cancer, Capricorn, right? Is Saturn inner aspect in Cancer or Capricorn? It is, right? Now again, we want it to do it 2 out of 3 times. Now let's take Cancer, Capricorn, which is the Rashi horizon, and put Cancer, Capricorn in the Navamsha. So draw a line through Cancer, Capricorn in the Navamsha. Is Saturn in the Navamsha inner Rashi aspecting Cancer or Capricorn?
No.
Yeah, it is. It's aspecting Capricorn. Right? Okay. Now, that's the seventh, okay? Whereas in the Rashi, it did the first, right? Okay. Now, in the Drekana chart, in Saturn, again, we're going to take the Rashi horizon, which is Cancer Capricorn, and where is that in the Drekana? Saturn's in Cancer, right? So Saturn's influencing the first house horizon 2 times, right? And the seventh house horizon 1 time, right? So the higher number is 2. Got it? So Saturn's causing a 2-point Raj Yoga based on the Rashi horizon. Yeah. Or Capricorn, whichever one's higher. We're not going to give both of it. Yeah. And it's influencing the Rashi Lagna, it's influencing the Cancer twice and Capricorn once, right? So, yeah, we don't care about that, though. Just what it's aspecting. So Saturn's causing a 2-point Raj Yoga to the Rashi horizon. You got it? Nope. Nope. First you check, and that's that misunderstood sutra. Remember that sutra everyone ignores?
Yeah.
That what they do, they just look at the lagna in all 3 charts. And that only gives you a possibility of 3 points, right? Meaning the most a planet can influence is 3 points. Whereas with the Kala lagnas, a planet can influence 9 points, right? Remember? It's an equal technique, and Jaimini specifically says it this way. It's just the sutras are misunderstood. So now what we do, we see a 2-point Raj Yoga based on the Rashi horizon, on the Rashi first house. Now what we're going to do, we're going to look at the Navamsha horizon. The Navamsha horizon is Scorpio Taurus. Okay? Is Saturn inner aspecting Scorpio or Taurus in the Navamsha? It's not, right? Like I said, this gives you a little eye strain at first, but it's worth it. Okay, it's not aspecting Scorpio or Taurus in the Navamsha. Then we take the Scorpio Taurus and put it in the Drekana, which happens because that's the Navamsha Lagna. That's the horizon in the Navamsha. That's the first and seventh in the Navamsha.
So you look at this in what chart? In all 3 again?
All 3 again.
In the Rashi, Navamsha, and Drekana.
Yep. So let's take Scorpio Taurus and put it in the Drekana now. Is Saturn inner aspecting Scorpio or Taurus in the Drekana?
Yeah, both.
Both. But we only consider it, okay, it's doing it. Now let's take Scorpio and Cap Taurus and put it in the Rashi chart. Is Saturn aspecting Scorpio or Taurus in the Rashi chart?
Yeah, both.
So Saturn causes a 2-point Raj Yoga based on the Navamsha horizon, right? Now the Drekana horizon happens to be the same as the Navamsha horizon, right? It's Scorpio Taurus, right? Well, if they're the same, then they're the same, right? So he also got the 2-point Raj Yoga for the Drekana horizon. Got it?
Yes.
So he gets a total of 6 points for Saturn. 3 2-point Raj Yogas of a maximum combined of 3 3-point Raj Yogas. So 6 is pretty healthy, okay? No, it's the same on the 1st and 7th, because in both cases, Saturn aspects the 1st and 7th. Yeah, we give it to... Yeah, but we only take either or, we don't take both. Yep. Doesn't seem to make any difference. The same way in Gemini, your 7th house has a lot to say for your longevity, right? And it's not because your partner kills you or helps you live longer. It's just the horizon, the horizon is the birth, you know? Okay. It's where space intersects the earth, you know, which is the birth. Okay. Now let's do the same with Jupiter. In the Rashi chart, is Jupiter inter-aspecting the horizon, which is Cancer Capricorn?
No.
In the Navamsha, is Jupiter inter-aspecting Cancer or Capricorn?
Yes,
it's aspecting Capricorn, right? In the Drekana, is Jupiter inter-aspecting Capricorn?
Yes.
So it's a 2-point yoga for Jupiter, right? Okay, so Jupiter is giving 2 points based on the Rashi Lagna. Now, the Navamsha Lagna, is Jupiter inter-aspecting the Navamsha Lagna or the Navamsha 7th house? No. That's Scorpio Taurus. Now, in the Drekana in Scorpio Taurus, is Jupiter inter-aspecting Scorpio or Taurus?
Yes.
In this Taurus, right? In the Rashi chart, is Jupiter inter-aspecting Taurus? No. So Jupiter's just doing it once, which is not good enough to create a Raj Yoga, is it?
Okay.
Twice to be a Raj Yoga. And then from the Drekana, it's the same thing, because, you know, the Drekana and the Navamsha Lagna are the same, right? So we get the same result. No, you can't mix and mingle.
You can't.
Okay. If you could mix and mingle, then if you had a dual sign on the Lagna, it would be possible to get 18 points of Raj Yogas. Right? That's a Raj Yoga I'd like to have. Okay. So, you don't mix and mingle. Either or. Pick the highest, okay? All right. So Jupiter's not doing great as a Raj Yoga for him. And honestly, Jupiter wouldn't be powerful enough to make him president. But it doesn't have to make him president, it just has to keep him alive, right? You know, a measly little 2 points is usually not what's going to make a person a president, you know? Okay, let's go to John Kerry's 803 time.
Yeah, what?
Hold on one sec. Go to Moby. Oh, cool. Nice tattoo. Okay. So my son broke into my office and showed me that he had an Elmo tattoo.
Elmo?
Yeah, now I don't know which person is Elmo more, whether it's Bush or whoever, but whoever liked Elmo is going to win the election. Okay. And I think Bush looks more like Elmo.
Was this Elmo
like
a puppet? Hello?
Hello? Bush is going to win. And also, Bush has the same kind of posture as Elmo.
He does. He touched over like Elmo.
Yeah, so I think Bush is going to win the election.
Oh, my God. That's hysterical.
Okay. He just has to dye his hair red now. Yeah, right. Okay. All right. Let's see. What? Yeah. Okay, let's look at...
That's amazing, because your kids have never interrupted a class before.
No, he has to walk a long ways to get here. And he knows he's, you know, Mom knows he's not supposed to come back here right now. That's okay. All right, then the final thing you do after an astrologer makes an election prediction is look at that astrologer's chart for the day of the election to see if he's going to have a happy day or a depressed day, right? Because if you screw up a prediction, you're going to have a depressed day, right? Okay. Let's look at John Kerry's 8:03 time first, okay? Because that's what I happen to have up. With his 8:03 time... he's running Mercury K2. So I'm going to move a little faster here because we're really running out of time. In the Rashi chart, Mercury is not aspecting
the Lagna in the
7th, which is Scorpio Taurus. Mercury is aspecting Scorpio Taurus in the Navamsha, and Mercury is aspecting Scorpio in the Drekana. So Mercury is giving him 2 points in the... based on Drekana or Navamsha, right? Yeah. Then based on the Drekana or Lagna, 7th house, Mercury is not aspecting Cancer Capricorn. However, Mercury is in Cancer in the Navamsha, so that's 1 point, but Mercury is not influencing Cancer Capricorn in the Rashi. So Mercury is just giving one Raj Yoga in the Drekana. Now, K2 is aspecting the Lagna and the 7th house, which is, you know, Scorpio, Taurus, and the Rashi. K2 is in the 7th in the Navamsha. And K2 is in the 7th and Taurus in the Drekana, meaning the 7th from the Rashi. So K2 is doing a kick-ass 3 points in the based on the Rashi Lagna, isn't it? And also we saw, didn't we see, hold on. K2 was good in another respect, too, somehow, wasn't it? I don't know. Yeah, it was. So it's the book, see, that's, if this time is correct, you know, God knows if it is, that seems to be helping him. Now, based on the Navamsha Lagna, K2 is not aspecting the Navamsha Lagna or 7th. It's not aspecting the Navamsha Lagna or 7th in the Drekana, meaning the, you know, Aquarius Leo. And it's not influencing... or it is influencing Leo in the Rashi, so that's a 1 point or no point yoga, so it doesn't count. In the Drekana, the axis is Cancer Capricorn. K2 aspects Cancer and Capricorn in the Drekana. K2 aspects Cancer Capricorn in the Navamsha. And K2 is in Capricorn in the Rashi. So K2 is causing a 3-pointer on the Drekana. So K2 is a powerful planet for John Kerry, isn't it? Based on this technique, it's causing 2 3-pointers, and on the other technique, based on the Kala Lagna, it was causing a 3-pointer and a 2-pointer. It's just Mercury sucks.
Right.
You know? So, you see a similar thing as Al Gore had. The Dasha just was not pointing towards presidency, you know? Even though the Bhakti might be good enough to get him in running, if the Dasha is not promising it, but the Bhakti is fantastic. In fact, the Bhakti is way better than Bush's, isn't it? The K2 Bhakti, right? But the Mahadasha doesn't have the power. And if we look at the total, based on this technique, Bush has got a total of 4 2-point yogas, a total of 8 points, right? And Terry has got a total of 2 3-point yogas and 1 2-point yoga, right?
That's 8 and 8.
8 and 8. So they're totally equal based on this technique, but Bush wins it with the Kala Lagnas, and he wins it with the Bhava Vacharya. So, you know, 2 out of 3 things seem to favor Bush. Now, the nice thing about these Jamie techniques is it's not as tricky. You don't have to sort through the Dishtana stuff. Is this planet going to make them fall? Or, you know what I mean?
Right.
You just add up the numbers and make your prediction, right? So even if we didn't do the Bhavacharya and we added up the numbers based on these techniques, we would favor Bush, wouldn't we? And there's one other point-centered technique that we can do, but I really didn't think we'd have time to do it, so I ignored it, okay? And I've tried each of these point-centered techniques and found that they usually work in 8 out of 10 elections. The other technique is, we'll do it real quick. I'll just do it fast. I haven't even looked at it myself. This will be my only chance, probably. You take the Atmakarika. Benefits with the Atmakarika in the 2nd, 4th, 5th, or 8th from the Atmakarika cause kingship. Malefics in the 3rd or 6th from the Atmakarika cause kingship. And if it's reversed, you get the reverse. So in John Kerry's chart, and he's running Mercury Dasha, right? So we have to look at Mercury from the Atmakarika and see what house it's in to see if it can support kingship. Mercury's in the 2nd from the Atmakarika as a benefit. That gives, someone needs to write these down for me, I can't find my pen. That gives 1 point of kingship for Mercury by being in the 2nd from the Atmakarika. Okay? Then we have to do the same thing from the 1st and 7th lords. The first lord is Venus. Mercury's in the 3rd from Venus as a benefic. That's not good. You want malefics in the 3rd. Benefics are bad for kingship. So from the 7th lord Venus, Mercury's -1. So now we're back. Mercury is giving a status quo now. From the Lagna lord, which is Mars, Mercury's a benefic in the 8th, which is positive. So Mercury, based on the Rashi chart, is giving a +1 toward kingship, okay? Now, K2...
Using the,
what?
Using the 803.
803 point, time.
Okay.
That's, we're just going to do the 803 because we're just, that's all we're going to have time for.
Okay.
You guys can do the rest on your own, though. It'll be good for you. Maybe you'll find something I didn't cover on the other time and you'll predict the election and you'll win. Your chart will look better than mine on election day. Okay. Mercury... When we look at K2, the Bhukti Lord, from the Sun, the Atmakarika, K2's in the 3rd house, +1. We want malefics there. From the 7th Lord Venus, K2's in the 4th house, -1. Then from the, Lagna Lord, K2's in the 9th. So K2's neutral in this technique. He's not going either way based on this technique. Let me check one thing. Hold on. Okay, and also we want to check benefics in the 9th, or malefics. So, K2 is a malefic in the 9th from the that lord. So that's K2 comes out to a -1, Mercury to a +1. Doesn't look real great based on the Rashi, right? It's a benefic, but you want malefics in the 3rd and 6th. No, so Mercury as a malefic, if it's reversed, it's bad. So let me just say the yoga. Benefics with the Atmakarika in the 2nd, 4th, 5th, 8th, or 9th from the Atmakarika create kingship. Malefics in the third and sixth create kingship. If it's benefics are in the third and sixth, it gives poverty and wandering supposedly. And if the malefics are in the first, second, fourth, fifth, or eighth, it gives poverty and wandering. And he checked that.
Second, fourth, fifth, and eighth?
Yep.
If malefics are in those houses?
Yep, you don't want the malefics there. And you check that from the Upmakarika and from the Lagna and from the Lagna and Seventh Lords. Okay? So John Terry's Dasha Lord Mercury gives 1 point plus, his Bhakti Lord Ketu gives minus 1 point. You Jaimini, with those other techniques we did, he specifically says do this in the Rashi, the Navamsha, and the Drekana. This technique he doesn't say, which means we should use it in all the Vargas correctly. So we should check this in the Navamsha, and also go ahead and check it in the Samsha too, if we want to do it fully. We'll just do the Rashi chart and see what happens. So based on that, that's not real powerful. Now Bhushit chart's going to be a little more tricky, because he's running Saturn Dasha. Okay? Let's just look at Saturn Dasha first. Okay, from the Atmakarika Venus, Saturn is minus 1, right?
Why is Saturn, so yes, it's a malefic
with the Atmakarika. From the Moon, the first Lord, Saturn's not doing anything, right? And then from the seventh Lord, Saturn, well, Saturn is the seventh Lord, right? Since Saturn is the seventh Lord, we have to look at the as everything influencing Saturn. Saturn's minus 1 so far. Well, let's look at everything influencing Saturn. Saturn, the seventh Lord, is with two benefics, Mercury and Venus. That's plus 2. Mars is in the second. That's minus. We had minus 1. We added 2. That gives us plus 1. Mars now is going to give minus 1. Okay? Jupiter and Moon in the third are both going to give minus 2, and then K2 is going to give minus 1, 2. So we're bound to minus 4, right?
Can K2 sometimes be counted as a significant identity?
It is for Chara Dasha.
So it has certain
yeah. You bet. So then Saturn doesn't look good at all. Now let's look at Jupiter. Okay. Jupiter's from the Atmakarika Venus, Jupiter's in the third. Bad news. From the Lagna Lord Moon, Saturn's in the first. Good news. From the Lagna Lord, from the seventh Lord Saturn, I mean, Jupiter's bad. So Jupiter's minus 1, right? It's good from the Moon, it's bad from Venus and Saturn. So Jupiter ends up being minus 1. So his really looks shitty. But you need to check the. Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad. And then you need to do this in the Navamsha and some of the other charts. And when you add the Navamsha to Bush's chart, then it gets a lot better. Because Mercury and Venus are doing a lot of good there. Okay? And when I do this technique, what I've done, and I found this guy made it more accurate, is malefics and the good houses that are exalted, treat them as benefics. If they're an exalted or own house, or Vargottama, and benefics in the third and sixth that are debilitated are good. So,
benefics in third and sixth that are debilitated are good?
Count them as good, yeah.
Okay.
And malefics in the other houses that are exalted or an own house, treat them as good. Okay? So that will change some things too. And then Bush's Navamsha, he picks out an outrageous amount of points. But that's the basic technique. I didn't want to get into it too much because there's a lot of subtleties to using that technique well. And I knew we just weren't going to have time to deal with all the subtleties. If you can play with it on yourself if you want to. The sutras that's in Jaimini is 1330 through 1334. Those are the Jaimini sutras that represent that technique. But it's a tricky technique that needs some experience. With that first technique I showed you with the bhava-lagnas and the horizon, you just add up the points and see what you get. It's really reliable. Go ahead.
So I was able to copy down pretty much everything you said, but I didn't get a whole sentence. You said houses 1, 2, 4, 5, 8, 11, and the Avatar, the Lagna Lord, and the Seven Swords, those are bad?
Yeah.
Okay,
so you want benefics in the right houses and malefics in the right houses.
Gotcha.
Okay. And that technique I don't like as much as the other one, because there's a lot of subtleties. It doesn't work like clockwork like those other ones. There's a lot of subtleties involved, and so it's really easy to make a mistake. Where that first technique, you just add up the numbers, and that's all you do. So those first two you can really use with advantage in your things. I go through and I'll use a technique really heavily for a year or two, and I'll start researching something else and get more interested in that technique. But that one, those two Yogada techniques, you know, were just great, where they bailed me out lots of times, where I would like look at a chart, and I remember one guy had K2 in the seventh house, and it didn't look like a good K2, and he just got out of K2 dasha. But K2 was causing like 2 3-point seventh house Raj Yogas and a 2-pointer. So K2 was rocking. And then, in his K2 book, he has his company that just goes crazy, and he makes so much money he doesn't have to work anymore, you know. So he has amazing success in a K2 that didn't even look good. So those two yogas are really handy tools, okay? So, but, you know, more things are pointing towards Bush winning, I think, than John Kerry winning, you know? So I don't know if that makes you guys happy or not. Personally, I don't really like Kerry. I saw him for a few minutes on TV, read his body parts, and decided I would never vote for him. And I paid attention to his body. Usually don't check out guys, but since we're at debate with his birth time, I really didn't, you know, I thought I'd check out his body parts. Well, he's a little too thin and narrow. His head is compressed on the sides.
Right.
You know. His lips are too thin. What's that? Yeah, exactly. His lips are too thin. Yeah, I didn't even see him. I was at my mom's and she happened to turn the TV on, so I saw John Kerry for a few minutes. So,
what did thin lips mean?
Thin lips, you know, can mean a lack of generosity, you know. And, of course, controlled speaking, you know. So, I mean, he didn't really look very trustworthy. And I can't believe how bad those speakers are, you know what I mean? I mean, who taught those guys how to talk? Anyway. I mean, I'm one to complain, you know, but... Yeah, right. We should have a Vedic astrology party, right? We'll do everything on the... Our only slogan is, we'll do everything at the right time. You know, we'll just do Muhurtas for everything. We'll build a supercomputer, you know, that just will spit out Muhurtas all day long for the president and the staff. It would be a great experiment, wouldn't it, to do everything on Muhurta and see what happens? Yeah. And we certainly won't start wars when Jupiter's in retrograde.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we won't, we'll make sure that the direction we approach the enemy from is favorable for our victory. You know, they did everything wrong in that war, you know? So, yeah. And we would tell our politicians to read Dune before they go fight desert people. Because, you know, in that book, Dune, they just thought they could just kick the desert people's butt so easy, you know? And people always think that just because those desert cultures are so backwards, they can just go in there and kick ass. Russia couldn't break Afghanistan in over 9 years, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't care if you're a superpower, you just don't go fight desert people. And in Dune, a lot of the places that in Dune are all kind of, all the names are coined from like Arabian or Persian names. And let's see what else. And they're fanatics, you know, they're religious fanatics. But they're good people. They're, I mean, like Arabs, most Arabs are really good people, actually, even though they might be a little religiously fanatical. You know, so I kind of think Bush should have read Dune first, you know. But Dune's probably not the kind of book a Bible thumper would read, you know. All right. Okay, any other questions before we wait? Yeah. It's not so great, and it's the beginning part of his Mercury book thesis, so it'll continue his trend of trying to get something done but not fully succeeding, you know? Yeah. You know, with Jupiter book thesis, there's some chances for the war effort to move in his favor over the next few months, I would think. But, you know, I would want him to have it done before he goes into Mercury, you know? But, you know, the other thing is Mercury in the Dasamsha as third lord aspecting the seventh house and as the dispositor of his Atma, the nakshatra dispositor of his Mercury, I think Mercury will help him make some useful commercial contributions internationally. You know what I mean? So I think he's going to, in Mercury period, he's going to start going more from a commercial slant. Instead of a fighting slant, you know? And he's going to be forced to because the economy is going to slide, you know? Because Mercury in his Dasamsha is good for making economic efforts in foreign countries instead of war efforts. You understand? Because, you know, Mercury is not, you know, ruling the eighth house, luckily. It's not influencing the eighth house the way Saturn is, you know? So we want a president that gets that's not an eighth house dasha. You never want an eighth house dasha president. But, you know, Mercury's definitely got some problems. So I think he's going to be dealing with economic concerns more and trade. And in the Dasamsha, since that Mercury aspects the seventh house, he should do that in an international sense, you know? And the only way to dominate the world is through trade anyway. Any dummy knows that, you know? No one ever got ahead through war. All cultures that ever became great did it through trade, you know? Because when people cultures trade, they're friendly and they're happy and they learn things from each other, you know? And when countries at war, they hate each other and they repel good things that they could learn from each other, you know? So, you know, international commerce is the secret to world peace. It's what world peace will be based on, you know? There'll never be world peace until there's a healthy international commerce, you know? Yeah. But see, in the Rashi, Mercury's interchange with the moon. So he's got a third house interchange, which always shows ups and downs, you know?
Yeah.
So it could be better, you know, if the moon was somewhere else, you know? Totally. Yeah. Yeah. So I think as soon as Mercury Dasha kicks in, he's going to put a lot more effort towards economic concerns. And he'll be forced to because the economy is going to go, is based on the U.S. chart. The Sankranti chart for this year had the second lord in the 12th and an interchange between the 6th and 12th house. And the interchange between the 6th and 12th house is a bad interchange because both planets are sleeping. If they are awake, it could be great for the economy, you know, but it could mean destroying all the economic obstacles. But instead, it's just indicating the slide, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and Jupiter's eighth from the moon of the U.S. chart right now, you know, until next September.
Oh, really? So it's an eighth from the moon.
Exertion, loss of liberty.
And where's Saturn?
Saturn is...
Oh, so he's got an Aquarius moon. Well, Saturn, at least, is in the seventh, sixth from the moon.
Right. But Saturn's helping, but Jupiter's
not. Yep. So we'll see what really happens, but... Yeah, Bush will have to pay more attention to international economy. You know. All right, well, let's see what happens. So who are you guys voting for now? Same people, or is anyone voting?
I'm voting. I'm not voting at all.
What? Yeah. I mean, if Big Bird was running, you know. Actually, I would just vote for the Trash Can Man, you know. Or the Cookie Monster. That's who I'd vote for.
Oscar.
Yeah.
Thanks, this is awesome.
All right. Actually, I would vote for Dorothy. That's the fish Elmo always talks to.
Aww.
Yeah. The goldfish. Yeah. Oh, well. All right, everyone. I'll email you about the next class.
Okay, and we're going to have homework, right? For this one?
No.